Christmas Unplugged by Sherry Roberts. Jenna already has her lights up, of course. I would have mine up too, except ever since Sam fell into the Grand Canyon, I've been a little behind on things. I told my husband, leaning over the edge like that, that there wasn't anything down there at the bottom of the Grand Canyon but river. Well, he proved me wrong. Men like to dance on the edge of the abyss, not even thinking about the mess they'll leave behind. From the moment Sam hit that rocky bottom, my world changed. It didn't help that the stock market went splat, just like Sam, shortly thereafter. I've held on to my 1940s St. Paul bungalow by judicious spending, prodigious coupon clipping, and lowering the thermostat. It's not so bad. Zoe the cat and I burrow under the down blankets and listen to the snowplows at night. My one worry is the Christmas lights. Electricity is expensive, and I simply must have 5,459 lights. That's the number smothering Jenna's house, trees, and that tacky plastic North Pole diorama. She's been bragging all over the neighborhood about this year's display. If I can't produce one light more, she'll win. You and Jenna have been competing with each other since the cradle, Sam always said. And it was true. When we were four and I took the crown at the Beautiful Babes contest, Jenna threw a tantrum, ripping out all her pink hair bows. But she came back swinging at the state fair when we were 16, becoming one of the beloved dairy princesses. As I fumed, my mother said, "Now be Minnesota nice, Abigail. Besides, it's cold sitting in that freezer getting your likeness carved in real butter." I wanted to knock that tiara off Jenna's butterhead with a hot dish. And that's the way we've gone on for 50 years. Frenemies. Neither will be the first to let our hair turn gray or admit our true age. She even moved in right across the street from me. Her house is bigger than mine and newer, but mine is an original craftsman, not one of those knockoffs. I tear my gaze away from Jenna's house and stroke the cat sleeping on a nest of bills. I pluck the electric bill from the pile. "Zoe, where can we get $100 for my lights?" "You could skip the lights this year," Sam would say. "Not on your life," I tell Zoe. Outside, Jimmy, the boy from down the street, is doing Sam's old job. He's my new light man. He lifts and untangles and hammers and strings. It will take him 2 days, and I just hope he knows his way around a roof. While Jimmy works on the lights, I walk to the hair salon. This time of year, I always take a route that passes the Black Rooster because it offers one heck of a Christmas display. As I'm taking in the decorations, I peek through the diner windows and see Benny Nordgard, Jenna's husband, in a booth, giggling and patting the hand of a woman who's at least 20 years his younger. He glances in my direction and jerks back his hand. I raise an eyebrow and he looks away. That night I can't sleep. Zoe is hogging all the covers. She's 15 pounds of Maine Coon dead weight. I look like crap the next morning when Jimmy knocks on the door. He spends another day untangling and hammering, finishing at about 4 o'clock. He's tested his work and swears that every one of my 5,460 bulbs is working. 5,460. I make Jimmy count them twice. That evening, I bundle up and go outside to stand on the street and bask in the glow of my Yuletide extravaganza. Before long, Jenna joins me. As she stands beside me, the smell of her Chanel reaches across to me in the cold. We both stare at my house. I cross my arms and she crosses hers. "How many?" she asks. This is when I do the victory dance in the packed snow. I have the numbers and the money to keep them lit, but for some reason, I don't jump to respond. I find myself thinking of the blonde in the booth at the Black Rooster. Before I know it, I lie. 5,458, I say. Jenna stands a little taller, a satisfied smile on her face. "Too bad. 5,459. Well, there's always next year," I say. "Yep, next year." As Jenna minces her way across the icy walk back to her house, I return to mine. Zoe greets me at the door, and I bend to stroke her and then whip off my hat and shake out my hair. I examine my gray roots in the mirror. Sam had been pushing me to go au naturel for years. A dye job at Missy's main event costs about $100. Merry Christmas, Sam, I whisper. This has been Bob's Short Story Hour, and thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to check us out at bobsshortstoryhour.com or like the Bob's Short Story Hour Facebook page. And if you or a friend have a short story that you've written and would like us to read on the show, or if you have a public domain story that you would like to hear, email us through the submissions tab on our website. And while you're there, if you feel like our show is worth the price of a cup of coffee or a soda, click the support link at the bottom of the page to donate what you feel you can. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good night.